The third commandment. What does this mean? Oops. Didn't mean to do that. The first commandment is a fence around God. The second commandment is a fence around His name. You could say the third is a fence around His word, but the command for us to remember makes it more about keeping us in. Well, isn't that a bad thing? Prisons have fences to keep criminals in. Communist countries have fences to keep their own people in. So a fence that is built to keep people in is usually indicative of something bad. But free puppies don't keep anyone in. Huh? Years ago, my friend had a litter of puppies he didn't want. He took them to Walmart, set up outside with a box of puppies and a sign saying free puppies. No one came to get or even look at a free puppy. An old man came over and said, if you make a sign saying puppies $5, you'll sell every one. He did and did. The third commandment is like a free puppy sign to us because it's the one that everybody feels free to ignore. Observe once a month, maybe. Every other week, or only when they feel like it. Nobody feels bad for not paying attention in church as long as they punch their ticket by being there. The third commandment doesn't keep anyone in any more than free puppy signs brings them in. And it's a bad thing not to be kept in church. Don't believe me? Didn't you hear the readings? Are you concerned with self-esteem? You ought to be more concerned about what the Lord esteems. He says, this is the one I esteem, he who trembles at my word. If you think you're free to be here or not gathered around the word, the Lord doesn't esteem you. The Hebrews 10 reading begs you not to forsake assembling around the word and does so in light of the approaching last day. And in this context, that of the third commandment, not the sixth commandment, not the eighth commandment, but the third commandment, in the light of the third commandment, Hebrews warns you of the danger of deliberately sinning after you receive the word, because no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire. Jesus in John 8 clearly gives the test of belonging to God. Here it is. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you don't hear it is that you don't belong to God. Want more? Skip hearing the word, and Proverbs 1:33 says, you will be ill at ease and in dread of evil. Zechariah 7:13 says, if you don't listen when God calls, he's not going to listen when you pray. Proverbs 28:9, it's stronger still. He who turns his ear from listening to the Lord, even his prayer is an abomination. Want to hear what our large catechism says about the third commandment? God insists upon a strict observance of this commandment and will punish all who despise his word and refuse to hear and learn it, especially at the times appointed. Do you regard it as an option or unimportant matter? It's the commandment of God, and he will require of you an accounting of how you have heard it, how you have learned it, and how you have honored it. I'm not accountable for you hearing or staying away from the word. You and you alone are. But these last sections, they don't really strike midweek churchgoers like you because you're here. This next part of the Large Catechism does. It says the third commandment condemns the multitude of others who listen to God's word as they would any other entertainment, who only from force of habit go to hear preaching and depart again with as little knowledge of the word at the end of the year as they had at the beginning. Third commandment is like an electric fence. It shocks you when you try to cross it. Your old Adam needs the shock. But it also indicates where on earth something sacred is going on. And your new man needs to know this. You know that God is absolutely holy. He not only doesn't sin, but sin and sinners can't exist in his presence. God the Son is holy in his person and work. At his first coming, he came in flesh and blood, but didn't always use his full holiness, or he would have burned up everyone around him. Instead, Jesus was born under the law of God that bites into your back, weighs you down, and drives your face into the mud of sin. Jesus was tempted in every single way you are, but sinned not. He lived a perfect life, but was sent to the cross in place of all mankind to die the death of a damned sinner. Tortured beyond belief, shamed beyond measure, damned to the depths of hell. In our flesh and blood, he won holiness, he won innocence, he won blessedness for our flesh and blood, having put out the fires of God's wrath against us and covered us with his righteousness. So, where is all this forgiveness that he won for us today? You immediately say, well, it's mine through faith. Martin Chemnitz responds, no sane person has ever understood justification by faith alone in such a way as to exclude the ministry of the word and sacraments. The third commandment, in fact, highlights that this is the place God wants to work in you. As we sing in our message hymn about this commandment, hallow this day that God may so work in thee. Scripture says this commandment is to remind us of three things: that the Creator rested so you can too, the Lord led the Old Testament church out of slavery into the promised land of rest, and in Ezekiel, the Lord says he gives us the Sabbath, but that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. So God's intention all along was to do something for us. If the divine service is viewed primarily as our praising God, well, then you can do that just as well at home. If I'm the one acting, then I can do it at another time. But if God is acting, I better be there. God is the actor in the divine service. Anytime the word is taught, proclaimed, read, and he intends there and then to impart his holiness. The holiness we sinners need for living, for dying, and for living again. This holiness God the Son won for us and places for us in the three holies: holy baptism, holy absolution, holy communion. Within the fence of the third commandment of preaching and his word is a sacred space where sinners devoid of any holiness of their own are covered in sinfulness, gladly gather. In fact, it's the public preaching of the word that creates the space. Luther said that about Malachi 2:7, which says the lips of the priest preserve knowledge. Luther said, this is a passage against those who hold the spoken word in contempt. The lips are the public reservoir of the church. In them alone is kept the word of God. You see, unless the word is preached publicly, it slips away. The more it is preached, the more firmly it is retained. Reading it is not as profitable as hearing it. Satan does not care a hoot for the written word of God, but flees at the speaking of the word. The third commandment is to keep us within the bounds of the holiness of Christ, his victory over Satan, and his triumph over death and sin. The boundaries are marked by preaching and his word. You know what the concept of inbounds in sports means. It's kind of like an instant death line. The player steps on it, the ball goes past it, and play stops instantly. In video games that have boundaries, you cross one and seconds pass till you're dead. From the 16th to the 19th century, Lutheranism agreed that the visible church, where the gospel is preached and the sacraments administered, are the boundaries where the elect are found. Chemnitz says, nor should we imagine that somewhere else there are chosen ones except in the visible assembly itself. He has revealed himself in no other place than in the visible church in which the voice of the gospel is proclaimed. The 19th century Lutheran pastor William Lay said, the visible church is the tabernacle of God among men, and outside it there's no salvation. A man separates himself from God the Father if he separates from the church, his mother. Again, as a man stands in relation to the church, so he stands in relation to his God. When Luther first began commenting on the third commandment, he emphasized setting aside the feast day. Then he went on to emphasizing the day of rest aspect. Little by little, over years, the hearing of God's word moved to the center and eliminated the other two emphases. You're in bounds, you're not out of bounds where certain and sudden death are when you do not despise preaching in his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. The third commandment lets you know when you step out, and it keeps you within the bounds of the last day. This is also a Luther observation. The Lord's Supper, at the center of the divine service, makes the entire service a sign of the end times. When I got here to Trinity, I moved the elements of the Lord's Supper from the corner of the altar to the center. That's where they were placed historically. My then organist, a lifelong Lutheran, told me he had never seen them placed there. And it made the altar look empty when you didn't have the sacrament. Exactly, I replied. Luther said that divine services are evident signs of the other life after this life. Don't you get a whiff of that in the alternate Thanksgiving, which quotes Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11:16? As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show of the Lord's death until he comes. See, now we're back to the three comings of Advent. His first, where he brings his holiness to earth and then wins it for us. His second, his continual coming in word and sacrament in church, where he gives us his holiness. And his second coming, when the only life that will avail before him is one died in Christ. Chesterton remarked, if you expect to find God beyond the grave, you ought to be found by him when he comes and stands every Sunday in your little church. Images of the church as a sanctuary, as a ship, as the ark, as a mother hen with outstretched wings, they're all testimony to you that God gave you the third commandment to let you know where sanctuary from sin is, where the ship of forgiveness is in the stormy seas of sin is, where the ark of life in this world flooded with death is, where the protecting wings of the cross stretched out for sinners are. Luther said the third commandment showed God wants to distract man from his daily toil so open him to God's gifts. So, contrary to Roy Rogers, we sing, do fence me in. Amen.